This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle and some very cool people in the studio this morning. Morning, Tamar.
Good morning, John T.
And our good friend, Derek Searle.
Morning, John T.
Derek,
morning,
we haven't seen you for a while, and it's so cool to have you here.
He's so shy. He's so elegant.
Yeah.
It's one of my better features.
You got a lot of good features. So we've known Derek for quite a long time, and Derek is in the adult entertainment industry as a dancer, as a sex performer, as a porn star. You'd kind of done it all.
Yeah, I've been around the block a couple of times.
And that's pretty cool. Absolutely. So we're going to have an interesting discussion this morning. And with us as well is the new head of Tease Hers, which is very, very cool.
Yeah, we have all these contact details. You might be harassed,
absolutely.
Wayne. You know how it goes.
Absolutely. Okay. So we're going to have a really interesting discussion about the male side of things. Because we talk a lot about women in the adult industry.
Mm.
And the male side is really, it's just as important.
I would agree.
Absolutely. So let's see what's happening there. Let us do the dirty dictionary first.
Chocolate starfish. Twitter bag.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
Broner.
Dirty dictionary word.
A broner. Tamar, any ideas?
It's something that has to do with a boner that I know.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
You're in the right area. Definitely.
Yeah.
Wayne, any ideas what that might be? You're stumped. We need a microphone on for Wayne. Let's put that on. Is that better? There we go.
I'm stumped.
Okay. Derek, any idea?
I'm just going to go with dubious. I think I've got an idea, but I'm just going to say dubious. I don't know.
Okay. So, message us, call us, let us know what you think a broner is. The clue is if you watch Californication, I have an idea that's where it first came up from. It was the first time I heard the word, and I was watching old episodes of Californication last week. So that's where I got the word from. So call us on 0861-555-189. We are on Twitter, on sextalk_CliffC. And
Facebook as well, Facebook. If you wish to look at our posts there. It's also cool. And Sex Talk, Cliff Central.
So, any questions you have for Derek? Let us know.
So many questions.
Yeah.
So many.
How did you get started in all this?
As a young boy, people want to become doctors and cowboys and all kinds of things. All I wanted to be was the greatest lover in the world.
See, I can identify with that one because I spent so much of my life doing that and learning and teaching.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I followed some revenues here and followed some revenues there and conquest this and conquest that. And finally, I ended up in the stripping industry.
Okay.
And I was very happy because I've learned the deepest, darkest secrets and desires of women and pains and sufferings and all kinds of funny things. And through all of this, I just learned a couple of things that made me realize that my whole conquest, my whole life was actually such an idiotic conquest.
Yes.
Especially when it came to women. Eh? But at least I learned that.
Mm. Excuse me, why was it stupid?
Because not one single woman on this earth, no matter how similar they are, put together, are the same. Mm. Even if it's one quality.
That's it. You're the best lover in the world. You know
that. That puts them apart. And the only way to become a good lover. Look, if you sleep with a million women, you're not a lover, you're a player.
Yeah.
But to become a really, really good lover, you got to stay with one
woman. I'm dancing.
With woman long enough for her to open herself completely.
That's
then, and if you're then unselfish as well, obviously.
Gold, gold. You know, Johnson, sometimes we need another man to say things that you say naturally. We need somebody else to say it.
Because there's so much about that.
And that's why I got into the industry. Mm. And yes, so I just like followed every... Look, I said, I'm going to go balls to the walls. Mm-hmm. Excuse my pun. But I'm going to do it all.
Mm. But sometimes, it's an interesting thing. In the world of sexuality, when you actually go out and kind of absolutely eat everything, that's when you start to realize the difference between... And it's something that I talk about a lot. We talk about kind of junk food sex and fast food sex and comfort food sex and gourmet sex.
Absolutely.
But sometimes you got to start with sort of eating everything.
You got to taste everything.
And then you start to learn what's what if you got half a brain.
Yeah, no, that's true. True.
And a heart that becomes open. Mm. And that's
important,
cool.
Yes. Yeah.
What was your first time on stage like as a dancer?
Well... I was very shy, like Tamar said. You can still see it in me. Yeah. I'm an extremely good mimic.
You know how to dance, or was that a learned skill?
Okay. I came from a farm town called Lichtenburg.
Okay.
Right. Now, if I used anything except hand cream there, it was very frowned upon.
Okay.
So I came to Teasers just to look at it when I was 22, I think.
Okay.
And I had more hair on my body than... I can't even explain. I can't even begin to explain. Because to me, it was frowned upon. I wasn't allowed to shave. So I came in and Lolly Jackson said to me, there's no such thing as looking. He tore my clothes off my body and he threw me on stage.
Oh, wow.
Let's just put it Kringer in the bus. That's how it looked downstairs. And on my boy Lollipop.
Yeah.
It was the worst 5 minutes of my life. Okay. I promise you that. But after that, I was... broken in.
Mm.
I wasn't shy anymore about anything.
Okay.
Or at least I could mimic that I
was. And was that full nudity the first time out? Okay. How did that feel to be nude as a man in front of a whole lot of people?
At first I was scared until the first yelling woman with her hair in her hands sank in. Then it became very liberating and obviously very intoxicating as well. So
yes.
Then I wanted more. I want more.
Yeah.
And that's when it started... Now you start shaving. Oh, beauty is such a painful process.
Sorry.
Yeah, and we become just as vain as women.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting thing, because a lot of people, when women go out at night, they will often get much more hectic than men.
Very true.
Yes, and Wayne agrees with that. Absolutely. And so the interesting thing is, and here's a question for everybody out there. As a guy, would you want to know what your partner does on a girl's night out? Because that's kind of an interesting one. How wild do women actually get? I mean, we know the answer to that, but let's hear it.
I'm going to give you a statistical fact here.
Yeah.
It was, Tease Hers was open 3 years. Mm-hmm. Tease Hers.
Mm.
And we were only like 7 male strippers.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 5 tables in the club back then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Teasers, the female side, had 7 branches over South Africa, over 200 women stripping, and they were open just over 9 years. And in the 9 years that Teasers was open, only 95 men around there, plus minus, was actually dragged out by the scruff or touching or saying something appropriate or getting a bit, you know, out of hand. In the 3 years that Teasers was open with our 5 tables and 7 male strippers, 349 women were literally dragged out by the scruff.
Dragged
and so banned.
Really?
And banned.
So the boundaries tend to disappear very, very quickly.
But we've learned over the years that it takes a very special. That's what, that's what Wayne has also tried to.
We'll talk about that just now.
The thing is, it's up to the dancer to keep control. If you've got a sleazy dancer, he's going to take that power and he's going to abuse it. Which, look, I'm not going to tell you in the 13 years that I've been in this industry, I didn't abuse this power. Like I said, it becomes very intoxicating.
Sure.
But that's how I learned. Mm. You have the power to control. Yeah.
So at a private party, obviously the boundaries are a little bit different.
Yes.
Okay, how different do they get?
Well, it's easier.
Yeah.
Easier to make mistakes.
Absolutely.
Easier to manipulate.
Yeah.
There's more alcohol because it's not a paying bar or anything. Mm. So it just, you tend to make the mistake of doing things for free as well. That's very stupid. Okay. But that's what happens if you, you know, give you examples. My right nipple has been bitten off.
I walked
with my nipple to the ambulance.
Yeah.
Got 3 stitches to put it back on.
Can I see?
And I've got a happy nipple. It never goes down.
Yeah. No. That's a gimmick. That's like a party trick. Yeah. I have to see that.
It's a happy nipple. It's always in the air.
Oh my goodness, it's true. I'm going to take a photo of that just now.
Okay.
Oh,
so
wow.
How much of that is purely alcohol fueled? And how much of that is kind of stone cold sober? Because that's an important thing.
I think all of us have a darker side to us, obviously, which we suppress and suppress. And I can honestly say, sober, women are the most loveliest things on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Promise you. But the moment it gets a bit out of hand with alcohol, obviously the inhibitions drop and all kinds of funny things. Especially a group of women. One woman, not so bad. Dangerous sometimes, but groups.
Yeah, and everybody fuels each other.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And as soon as one person crosses a line, everybody's there.
Yeah,
which is interesting. And part of that becomes, it's an interesting thing because a lot of women have this incredibly powerful sexuality that they love to let rip, but so much socialization and slut shaming and all of that kind of keeps it repressed.
Society conformity is like really, I don't know, put women on this kind of pedestal.
Because there's a very interesting thing, and we're talking quite a lot about male sexual wounds in the next couple of weeks, which is really fascinating. And a lot of the myths of male sexuality. And one is that men are less monogamous than women.
That's nonsense.
And it's kind of an interesting thing because in pure sexual terms, very often, once a guy's had sex and had an orgasm, that's it, he's done. But once a woman has had an orgasm, often that's just the beginning. And that's where everything kind of tends to change and the dynamic changes quite a lot.
Look, I've got a saying, you wake it, you take it.
Don't
wimp out, but I'm just saying, that's the easiest way to explain it.
But that's where a lot of men fall down because they don't know how to create a safe space for their women to express themselves fully because it terrifies them.
Yeah, of course.
And I always say that men's greatest fear is their greatest fantasy, which is a sexually powerful woman.
Mm.
And it's the biggest fantasy, but the fear is that they got no idea on what to actually do with it once it's woken up. Because the truth is she'll fuck you to death and ask for more.
More, yeah.
And can you actually hold the space for that?
It's true.
Absolutely.
Can you deal with it? Can you handle it?
Because if you're going to wake it up, and most men, firstly, have no clue how to wake it up.
Yeah.
Never mind what to do with it once it's
awoken. It's not even an option. Yeah. It's like I've aroused you, and we have climaxed, and it's over because I did my thing. Where's the playfulness? I'm always asking. Where's the curiosity? Does it need to be awake? Does it need to be waking up? Are you just a curious? I'm starting to understand that there are some people that are just more curious and more playful. Mm. Maybe even more, I don't want to say metrosexual, but aware to the gifts of pleasure. Do you think it's something that can be taught, Derek?
Yeah, for really? Sure. I came into this, look, like I said, growing up as a farm boy, I was told women are this way and that way and this way.
Mm.
And, you know the whole story, right? Now I enter this industry and it's every single damn thing that I was taught is completely wrong. Not even remotely right. Completely wrong. So now I open my heart, like you say, you open your mind.
Mm.
And by doing that, you also learn about yourself.
Mm.
A lot about yourself that you didn't know was there because of suppression by society.
And if you're not learning about yourself, you're not learning.
The only thing that I can say is that you have to pay attention.
Mm.
Not get drunk and then go to a beautiful girl with nice tits and say, I'm paying attention. And this woman is pouring her heart out. And in that whole thing that she's doing there, there's hints. She's not going to give you everything because she wants to be explored. She wants the excitement. But there's hints. And if you've got half a brain and you really pay attention, to how she reacts to her environment, the way she's wearing her hair that day, what clothes she's got on, what car she's driving, what work she's doing, which friend she's keeping, what alcohol she's drinking. Every single detail will tell you enough if you actually put it together that by the time you say hello to this girl, you know exactly how to say hello to her to awaken something.
Yeah, but learning how to listen to that is a real skill and an art.
It is. It takes a while.
So you're saying that, it's not what you're saying. Are you saying that women in the club actually really open up, that they really share a lot of personal, intimate stuff?
There we go. One happy nipple, two photos.
Not initially.
Yeah.
Look, we as men, we walk into a dancing club or a strip club, and we see a booby or a naked woman, and it's like, wow, I'm blowing tonight, I'm blowing my salary. Yeah. That's it, it's done. A girl walks in, and she sees a naked guy, or she sees a penis, and it's like, walls goes up.
Yeah.
So now, first of all, we have to walk over to this girl. You can't make her like you. You have to make her comfortable first. Mm-hmm. Once you've made her comfortable, then you have to slowly, slowly find the cracks in the walls. Mm-hmm. Because if you just go for it, you're going to scare her off as well. Once you find these cracks, which I will say is probably the qualities that make her different from each other girl, and then you can manipulate them, which sometimes are, she's there for fun, or she's there for this or that, or she's just in a very unhappily sexual relationship, or unhappily married and stuff. And once you've found that out and you've made her comfortable, she will then, in this situation, she realizes she's not in a bar where this guy is breathing heavily over her shoulder, and it's a whole sleazy thing, and it's going to end up being a mess.
So the fact that
she's safe, she's in power, she has the upper hand. Then
she's in power.
When she's in power, when she's got the upper hand, she will open, she will tell you everything about herself that you need to know.
Mm. Okay, so we got somebody wants to ask you a question, Derek.
No problem.
Morning.
Hi.
Morning, Anonymous.
Morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
Hi, yes. I'd like to ask a question to Derek, please.
Yes, sir.
Derek, your life there at Caesars and all that, does that involve a lot of sleeping around with women?
Look, you have that power. And like I said, in the 13 years, I'm not going to tell you that I haven't done that, because that would just be stupid. I have. But eventually you do that, it will destroy you. It will destroy you mentally. It will destroy you.
Will it destroy you in any way?
Yes, yes. Me. Me. It destroys parts of yourself, because it's just a conflict of interest at the end of the day. You got to live with yourself. You got to look at yourself in the mirror the next day and say, I'm a real person, or I'm just being fake. I'm just sexual healing, all kinds of nonsense. You know, it's just. So you try over the years not to do it. But the
you're happy with yourself after all of this?
Look, I've grown. I am happy with myself at the moment. Yes, at the moment, okay. I am very happy with myself.
Even with the marriages that you destroyed.
That is the one thing I've never done. I will.
There is one thing that you've done, because you've destroyed my marriage.
Oh, wow.
I'm very sorry, sir.
My marriage was destroyed by you sleeping with my wife and impregnating her,
okay,
and not even helping out with the child's birth or looking after the child.
Well, I'm very sorry if that is what happened.
Yeah. So I think it's a good thing on air that people.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Derek, you do have a lot of people know you.
Yeah.
It's 13 Listen, years.
It's 13 years.
Yeah. Interesting thing is, and we need to respond to this in some way, by simply saying, nobody can destroy somebody else's marriage unless you give it consent.
Look,
people involved are going to do that.
Well, you must remember, in this industry as well, a lot of women tell you just as much as you want a year as well. At the end of the day.
Yeah, and you're at the receiving end of a conversation that you have no idea of the rest of.
Look, like I'm not saying I'm right. Maybe I was wrong in this situation, and if I was, then I will try and fix it as far as I possibly can. But
but people are going to do what they're going to do, and essentially, they're going to destroy their own marriage.
Yeah, no, true.
And that's, but it's a difficult side of it.
That's what I'm saying. There is a darker side of this industry, and I'm, like I said, I'm not going to tell you that I haven't been there. I have definitely been there.
Absolutely. The amazing thing is the fact that you've learned and grown from it. Because I think a lot of people who I've spoken to in the situation had never done any of that kind of learning. And they sort of pretty much stay where they are and they do what they do. And that
for
becomes
sure.
quite fascinating. Sure. How did you make the jump from dancing into movies?
I was approached. First, I was like, my agent phoned me and said to me, listen, this guy is coming from America and they need somebody that's willing to do a movie. And at the time I was engaged, so I didn't do the movie. I said I couldn't do the movie if it wasn't with my fiance. And he said, no, fine, not a problem, we'll do it with your fiance. And once we've gotten into the industry, or into that side of the industry, I think the movie industry at that time was still very much sentimental. There's still storyline involved and all that nonsense. And the chemistry between me and my fiance, which we've had for years, obviously just worked on camera. So I just got offered more and more and more. And by doing these things, I learned a lot more about my body as well. And that intrigued me. So I went a lot deeper into it.
So having sex on camera, how was that?
Not that bad, actually.
Yeah, different to...
It depends on who you're having sex with.
Fair enough. So if it was just anybody, it would have been different to your fiancé.
Yeah. Look, I've had sex with different people, obviously, after. But I would say I would never be able to have sex with somebody that I don't have chemistry with, because the camera will pick it up. Definitely.
So it's not just a switch on kind of let's go.
And there's safety involved. It's actually a very complicated process.
Yeah, sex is very, and male sexuality is much more complex than we generally think.
Yes, it is.
That it is.
It is.
And incredibly emotionally linked.
Very much so, yes.
Much more so than a lot of men tend to think.
Or tend to actually just admit.
Yeah.
And with the camera, any kind of performance issues, or was that even kind of an issue, or?
No.
No. Okay.
In the beginning, not at all.
But you've described, you actually described that you got injured while having too much sex in Sex Point. We'll chat about it just now. But you also expressed the fact that there's good chemistry, and then you said that it's really like you can go days and days.
Yeah.
It's a passion.
It is.
Is it something that you said in the heat of the moment, or are you still sticking by that story?
The passion for the game ignites the flame. If I walk up to you with no confidence, are you going to pay me attention?
No.
If I don't enjoy what I'm doing, are you going to give me any attention?
Definitely not.
Exactly. I got to make you believe that is what I'm all about.
Are your friends happy to listen to you, learn from you? Do you see any interest when it comes from other male strippers or entertainers or porn actors, or even now you're getting to TV, you're in prime TV. Do you manage to work with people on that, how to magnetize, how to attract that?
I use this in everyday life, yes.
Yes,
sometimes I have used it for very, very bad things, which I have dealt with a karma for.
Yeah.
But obviously you can use it for a lot of good things as well. And I can at least say 90% of the dancing industry, whether I've led them into the wrong direction or the right direction, they've always looked at me for knowledge, for experience, for tips, tricks, all those kind of things. And I'm full of it. And I've reached a point in the industry where it's not so much for me about the dancing and the conquest and the this and that anymore. It's about teaching. And teaching it the right way and not the wrong way. So that the people that enter this industry with the same passion that I did don't make the same mistakes I did. And they can actually grow from it faster and better. You know, where I made mistakes, they can actually make it better.
That's important. That I know of my journey, a lot of stuff that I did in the early days that were definitely mistakes, and we learn from them and we grow, and the knowledge from that becomes invaluable. And in a way, and being on a sexual journey, it is the only way that you learn.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it doesn't matter what people tell you. You got to go there.
No, look, you got to make mistakes. Otherwise, you're not going to learn.
But that's where we learn about ourselves enormously. And that's the most important thing, is to keep on bringing it back to yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
Rather than just kind of putting it outwards all the time.
No, that's true.
Yeah, okay. Now, at Sexpo last year, you did yourself a terrible damage. How did that happen? What actually did happen, and how did you deal with
and
it?
And was your cock insured? No, that's a sad thing.
Unfortunately,
you see.
in the States or the American sex industry, there's a all those kind of things. But yeah,
nothing.
No.
No. Okay. So what actually happened?
Too much sex can kill you.
Actually, look, it wasn't on camera. It was in front of a live audience of 280 something people, and it was 3 days, 4 or 5 times a day, and then in between we did live webcamming as well. So that's a lot of playing with your private parts,
absolutely,
and a lot of arousal. And as a male porn star, you're not allowed to actually give them the money shot.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm not going to say that there wasn't playing backstage. There was a lot of playing going on backstage and carfuffling and all kinds of stuff to keep, you know.
Today I'm really expanding my Afrikaans, John T.
to actually keep things going, right? And then you get on stage and there was times that it was a bit overwhelming.
Mm.
It was very overwhelming. Not for my partner at the time. My partner at the time, look, I think there was a fantasy thing going there that I picked up, and that actually helped me again.
Mm.
Too much though, because I drank a couple of Viagras just in case there was stage performance anxiety, and downed them with a couple of glasses of brandy just to take the anxiety away. And obviously the blood was thin.
A bit of a lethal
the blood mixture. Was thin, and everything was going. And then when I thought I wasn't going to get excited on stage, I got so excited that the head of my
cock
exploded.
Okay.
Literally
so
exploded.
For the listeners, it's not like it was blue, but it wasn't like off.
It's just really bruised. Not bruised.
It just tore. Yeah. Just tore open.
Oh. Yeah.
So off you went to the hospital, and a couple of hours later, you were back
on stage.
Business again.
No. That I didn't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I must be honest, John T knows that much better than all of us. He's been, you know, he's been in Sexpo, South Africa for years and years and years. It's such a vibe there. You don't know if it's day or night. Everybody's hyped on life. Everybody's on sex, you know.
You get lost in time there.
You get lost in lots of stuff.
No, not true.
Backstage is like a fuck fest.
And sexually performing in front of groups of people like that, how was that for you? Was it exciting? Was it just work?
No, it was exciting.
Mm. All the time, or kind of the first couple of times, and now we got to do what we got to do?
Yeah, look, the last day or so, tiredness and fatigue sits in, and then it's not that exciting anymore, obviously. So then it became a little bit more work, Then it was just performing, putting on face and performing.
Yeah. Mm.
But the first day or two, it was like, yeah, man, let's do this stuff. It was very exciting. It's like you wake up in the morning, and it's like, not about the money even. It's just, I can't wait to go do this again. This is so fun. What's going to happen?
Yeah. And it's an amazing thing to be in that space. It really is. It's incredibly powerful.
It is. Look, I can say I'm very lucky. I'm thankful that I've had the opportunities I had, and I've learned a lot and experienced a lot.
Mm. What have you learned about making love to a woman that you would share with other men?
Making love can be anything. It can be, it's a very big misconception that making love is like all very slow and very, it's not that. Making love can be anything. Making love can be fast. Making love can be hard. Making love can be soft. Making love can have whips and chains and all kinds of stuff involved. Making love is more about knowing your partner.
So what distinguishes making love from having sex? It's the thing I talk about lots.
Sex is meaningless
if
there's no love or connection involved. And anybody can have sex. It's like a comfort food. I feel like a chocolate because I'm bored. That's sex. I can go up to her now and say, listen.
Her, Tamara.
Sorry, Tamara.
No, just saying. No, because he's not talking to all the other chicks. Talking to me.
Okay, Tamara. I can go up to Tamara now and say to her, listen, yeah, you look just as bored as I am. Do you want to have sex? Okay, bend over. Boom, 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 done.
Yeah, it's so true. You just nailed it. You really did. It's like, it's almost like we're not talking with words. It's like, I'm not excited about it. We've done it already so many times. And I know you for a year or two or five. Nah, I'm not excited. Are you excited? No, because life is not exciting. Exactly. So let's not be excited.
Yeah. Or I can actually go there and actually take the time to literally know her, and then tomorrow morning wake up and go, even if it was just for a couple of minutes, I can go, wow, that was an experience. That was, I'm taking something from this. That is making love to me.
One of the things that I teach almost every man who walks in my door, not almost, every single man who walks in my door comes to every workshop, is the idea of getting out of the orgasm for men.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Mm.
That is a difficult thing to get over because it's obviously it feels very good
and
all that. But if you can get past it, to make somebody else's pleasure more important than your own climax is so much more of a climax at the end because you take so much more out of it. You learn, you experience, you learn about your own body. It's I don't know, it's spiritual almost. Very spiritual.
Mm. What does that mean for you? I mean, I'm agreeing with you, but what does that mean for you?
It means that for me, sex is not always just about flesh and physical, and it's a lot deeper.
Mm.
Look, being in the industry for 13 years and being surrounded by naked women, obviously, as well, I've kind of looked past it, you know, and even with exploration on other sides and stuff of the industry, I've looked past it. It's much deeper for me right now. Much, much, much deeper. A girl could take her clothes off, it's not going to be like that. I'm telling you, you're going to be almost more beautiful than a human being to turn you on like that. I'm serious.
John, that's something that I just want to emphasize, that, you know, we are living in such a society which forbids you to have sex. Or not a lot. Choose the right ones. And I just think that when you have more sex and when you bring consciousness comes usually with practice.
Yeah.
You need to live life to be conscious. You can't just meditate and levitate on a mountain and be conscious. So having sex and going through that shit, and I'm sorry, there's an elephant in the room. The guy that called is obviously stalking you. He's obviously know where you are in every single moment. Because who calls you knows that, you know, you're on sex talk today.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, people have obsessions, and I'm just thinking it's fine. And it might have been a very wrong thing that happened there. But, you know, you own and you go through the journey, and you've been through a lot of stuff, and you had a lot of sex, and now you can see beyond nudity. You can see beyond the erection, beyond the, you know, the, something that comes easy to you.
The climax, the everything. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah. Interesting.
Why is it important that we have a space to go and watch naked men and women dance and do what they do?
Great question.
That's a very good question.
I thought so too.
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I know for me what
Wayne, why do you think it's important?
Well, basically, I think the security comes in being a controlled environment.
Uh-huh.
You've got no pressure. You've got no influences that could maybe upset you.
Mm.
There's no damage to your personal being.
Mm.
And it's escapism.
Okay, yeah. So it's a fantasy.
It is a fantasy, definitely. And as you said earlier on, how do women react? Mm. When they first arrive, they are a little bit reserved. And social lubricant plays a very big part in this. Mm. A few drinks later, the inhibitions have dropped, and they actually enjoy the situation basically because they know they're in a safe environment. Mm. There's not someone lecherous over the shoulder. They're not getting their drink sparked. If they say no, go away, we don't like you. Plain and simple, the guy leaves. So they are in control of themselves in that environment.
Okay. So what inside of us is drawn to that?
Primitive.
Yeah.
Okay. Base instincts. Yeah. Curiosity is a.
Yeah.
A different 100 different versions for 100 different people.
I spoke about it with York before, and I said to him, actually, when we went to see Magic Mike or in Sexpo, you see all these perfect bodies, or let's say better bodies than you see in everyday.
Well,
groomed, exactly. Groomed. Which is, by the way, you know, when you guys came in today, and Wayne, that applies to you as well. Such great smell, groomed, you know, both of you very aware of what women really will appreciate, that at least, you know, there's some kind of respect.
It's a level of respect.
Yeah, don't use it in manipulation.
No,
it's purely
a level of respect.
Exactly. But
part of that becomes important. You know, I was teaching a couple a while ago.
Mm.
They're on a journey of learning, and we were doing a very basic foot massage lesson. Beautiful, very sensual, very safe, very gentle. And his grooming wasn't quite right. And afterwards, that for her became the focus. They've been married for a couple of years, and that became the focus for her rather than what they were actually doing in the moment. And it's an important thing. And a lot of people, I think, when they think they've got somebody, so much of that tends to fall. We stop looking after ourselves because I got you now. I don't have to work as hard as I did to get you. Yeah. But that's when you actually have to work even harder at your relationship to keep that.
When a hunter catches an animal, he doesn't set up traps after he catches it anymore. He tends to let go. So.
Yeah. Being in a relationship, if you meet somebody who has no clue what you do, and even somebody who does know what you do, how do relationships work? Could you be in a relationship with somebody who is not in the same industry that you are?
Look, relationships in this industry is extremely difficult.
Absolutely.
Dating somebody in the same industry, conflict of interest, jealousy, paranoia, all kinds of bad things.
Comes with drugs or just comes with...
comes with a territory.
No,
a territory.
Look, with everything. Mm. Bring in drugs, bring in alcohol, bring in desperation, bring in all kinds of things.
Mm.
So we know that a lot of the female dancers, that drug use is quite high. With the male dancers?
It used to be.
Yeah, and we know that it's changing. And we know that certain clubs are much, let's use the word, cleaner than others.
I'm not going to say I am one of the main things in the industry. Mm. But like I said, there's a lot of us older that are looked up to. And the way that we go is probably a lot of the times people have followed that direction.
Mm.
That's why I'm saying we've tried now to clean it up and it's working. Mm. It is actually, I can say that the male side of the industry is very clean.
What was the impetus for cleaning it up, for changing it? Where did that come from?
Politics, backstabbing, jealousy, selfishness, everything just turned the industry into such a sleazy, dark place that it attracted that type of person. And that's not that, that's just to have a next generation of, you know, male entertainers like that is just going to ruin the rest of the industry for everyone.
Was it ruining business from a purely business point of view?
Yeah. You had people that abused power because they had that power and experience and knowledge and kept younger or more inexperienced people under control with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And the money was going to two or three places where the rest was suffering, and that was causing for more desperation. And it was just an ugly, ugly spiral. Very ugly spiral.
And was it impacting on the amount of people coming to watch you, on the environment?
Yeah, it nearly killed the industry completely. Mm. Nearly. We nearly hang ourselves completely.
So what was your role in changing this, Wayne?
Well, basically I was approached, I'll just give you a bit of a background, in the adult industry, but I'm a very, very, very private person, very clean living. And Mr. Diogo from Teasers asked me if I wouldn't be able to assist in getting the brand up and running. And I did a lot of due diligence over there and I analyzed the problems. First of all, the jealousy and the backstabbing I had to eradicate.
Mm.
A lot of that came from the drug usage, lowering of inhibitions, morals, all this type of stuff. So slowly we cleaned it up with drug tests, analyzing people's personal behavior, how they approach the client, what was the client's reaction, and we weeded out the bad. And I'm so glad to say that after a bit of a time period, there's such a cohesive force amongst the people working there at the moment. They're all supportive, they're not individualistic, they know it's a team effort, and things are really improving.
Okay. So, you're actually trying to make this a profession.
Yes, definitely. It's like anything else is professional. People pay good money to see what's going on, and they want a professional act. They don't want a bunch of people sleeping in the corner, acting abhorrently, screaming, shouting, cursing. And so, as I say, a lot of our clientele are now really enjoying themselves. We have return clientele, and they are top-class business people as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not run-of-your mill. They really enjoy the stuff.
What's the lifespan of a dancer, a male dancer?
I've been in it since 22. I am now 32. It's been a long time.
Yeah. How many years are you going to carry on? I mean, there's no reason that you should stop.
Look, I am kind of reaching the end of my journey, slowly, where I will go into more, maybe get shares or anything like that, or teach and, you know, look after the industry. But you can go. I've one of the best male dancers that we've had. He's gone back to London now. His name was Reno. And he danced up until he was 49. He was in the industry for about 20 years. So you can, it's all about how you groom and how you look after yourself. And whatever you do as a youngster will affect you as you get older. So stay away from the drugs, stay away from the alcohol. You know, try to be safe, play it safe. Then you can, you can put a lot of mileage in your clock before going.
Yeah. What kind of backgrounds do people come from today? The men who come to learn or come to dance, what kind of backgrounds do they come from?
All sorts. It's there's not really a general background like single parent or hard life. Yes, there are that. And we all enter the industry because there's money to be made. But I came out of a normal home with two parents. There was a divorce and everything, but it was nothing. I didn't have an unhappy life. I did my matric. I did further studies. We get people, you know, from universities. We get people that had extremely hard lives and from scummy areas. And but, you know, it's not. I can't generalize on what type of person comes to the industry.
So as it becomes more professional, are different people coming into it for different reasons?
Yeah. And the thing is, you just work out the riffraff, like he says. You keep the riffraff out. You can get a person that comes from the deepest, darkest parts of the south of Johannesburg, but he has etiquette. He has the will to be something better. And then you get a person that comes out of the richest parts of the north of Johannesburg, and he's just a complete knob.
Then it's a short profession. You know, it's a short-lived profession. You're there for 2 months, 2 years. You burn yourself out.
That's it.
It's quite obvious.
It's like anything. If you want to get famous or infamous, it doesn't matter how you put it. You got to walk the line. If you shoot up too quickly, you will go down fast. You got to walk the line. You got to learn slowly.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And moving between kind of the different areas, like dancing to more kind of explicit, more hardcore stuff, was there an easy space and moving back between them?
No, I'm just an animal. I don't know. A shy animal, but
shy animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I've got
the lights come on and something comes out.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It, like I said, it's from the first time that scream of a girl and the hair, it hit a spot somewhere and it just opened something completely different. Of that I didn't even know that was there. I just saw myself as this like really shy little boy.
Yeah, we love that.
Absolutely.
Do you think you got spotted to be in a TV series that you are playing now in one of your performances? Do you think the TV director was just like, oh yeah, that's the guy I want to see? How did it happen?
Well, I've got a lot of things going on in my life, like you can obviously hear. Yeah. And I'm trying to rectify all these things for the listeners out there. And look, rectify. So I went out looking for, you know, more income and stuff like that. And I do a lot of modeling and stuff as well. So I went for an audition just for a TV extra. On, they were looking for a bunch of extras that they can place in Seven Delon and Isidingo and all these things. And there was this actor that just couldn't get his lines. He just couldn't get his lines.
And we're not talking about cocaine, by the way, whoever's not listening now.
And he's a well-seasoned actor. I'm not going to name names, but he's a well-seasoned actor. So I took his paper and I gave it a look through. And I did not only his lines, I did his cues, his reactions, and the person that's going with him. And I said to him, this is how I do it. You know, it's just archiving, counting, it's all kind of, you know. And one of the directors was sitting right behind me. And she said to me, what are you here for? And I'm like, no, I'm just here for extra. And she's like, mm-mm. Go do what you did just now. Go do it there. Go to those places and tell the people I sent you there. And I did. And I blew their socks off. They were literally flabbergasted. And they said to me, why haven't you done this your whole life? So now I'm acting. It's a small, very small role to start with, but yeah. It's a featured role. It's not just an extra.
Something you'd like to pursue?
Yeah, I'm actually enjoying this very, very much so.
Yeah, okay. Do these people know the past?
Some of them, yes.
Okay. And
women pick up. They smell a sense of sexuality that like attracts them and asks questions and like.
And their response to that? To what it is that you've done?
Excitement.
Mm.
Excitement.
And from a professional level, is it an issue?
No.
No.
If I'm going to make it an issue, then it will become an issue.
Because a lot of women, a lot of people in America, for example, have tried to do that crossover, you know, from porn to straight acting, and very few have actually been able to make it.
It's a difficult transition.
Yeah,
it's a complete different.
So there's still that level of judgment.
So you try and keep that separate. You know?
Absolutely,
it will become a conflict of interest. But there are some people that. Especially women, I don't know, they just have an intuition.
Sure, because that's what they pick up on, there's no question of that.
They have an intuition.
Yeah. But it's an amazing energy because our sexual energy can be used in so many different ways. And when you learn to channel it, you can actually channel it into so many different creative expressions. And sex is often kind of the smallest of that.
Minute.
Taking it up into creative expression, into business expression, into heart expression, so many different things. Because our sexual energy and our creative energy are exactly the same thing. So simply learning to channel it becomes...
That's the whole goal.
Yeah.
I think all of us just wants to be a sexual... how can I put it? Sexual being for somebody else in life.
Mm.
And we go about doing business and going to the bank even, doing shopping and... We don't realize this, but it comes out.
Sure.
Even if you're not aware of it.
But it only comes out when it's real.
Yes.
Because you can't fake
authenticity.
That. Yeah.
But what I've learned is I love it when women try and hide it. Because then it becomes more real. They just don't know.
He's looking at me now, so I'm just all blushing now.
The fact that they're actually trying so hard to hide it makes it so much more obvious.
But it's fun. At least that it's you know what? I like to say, you know what? You're hitting a spot there. Why women also became like, you know, so powerful in their masculinity and they can't just say, wow, you're turning me on. That's really cool. Or like, hey, you speak in a way that is more vulnerable and I'm actually getting a little bit turned on. You know, we can't say that. We're like, then we get all flustered and we have to just pretend that it didn't happen. But we are, you know, we're designed to get attracted to people. That's so I don't really get it. But I love it that you're pointing it out because it's funny.
It is actually a factor.
Yeah.
Life is changing. Women are getting more liberal about the way they are.
Yeah, when they're in teasers,
you
know. But if you're in a meeting and all of a sudden, you know, Hank, you know, a beautiful guy walks in, you're like... Oh my God, you know, let me not look.
It could be, sometimes it's something very, like, out there because the girl is, like, really trying her best. And sometimes it's something just subtle. Just a subtle smile or a quick look or something. Like I said, if you can really learn how to pay attention, you will pick up on it immediately.
What does vulnerability mean to you?
Predators. There are a lot of predators out there. And a lot of people have learned probably what I've learned through different ways or the same way, it doesn't matter. And they are just, look, you get just some really twisted people, just put it that way. Twisted because of maybe what they went through or they were just born twisted. And they will use this for bad things.
And male vulnerability?
Is very real. As like you said, it's something that not a lot of men would actually admit or even acknowledge that exists because we have to be men. But it's there. We get hurt very deeply, actually. Mm. And I think sometimes we take it actually more deep than a girl does.
Mm.
Way deeper.
Yeah, because we don't really express it either.
And we have to keep it to ourselves as per society's norm.
So for me, I have to say that's become one of the most important and key expressions of masculinity is vulnerability.
Yes, true.
And that's where the real authenticity
we are just
through.
As vulnerable as true, very true. I have gone through that a million times over in my life.
And that's where the real power, actually, of masculinity lies, is in the vulnerability and the strength, mixing them together and bringing them together and moving between them.
Finding a common ground between.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. You know what I love about this, and I love about what we do, is we sit here and we get to talk a lot with people that we know, which is really fantastic. But the absolute amazing surprise of the depth of people. And it's beautiful. Substance. And it's just an honor to share. Thank you.
No, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to share.
And it's really important. Because on one side, what we do and what a lot of us in the sex industry, and there's a spectrum of that. And I'm as much a part of it in my way as you are.
Anybody else?
But knowing that there's more, even if it's these little pockets of it that are growing and that are showing people that there's more, is just so important because it makes it safe and it makes it normal.
Yeah.
And that's so important. And it gives so many other people a space, men and women, to step into that. And I have to tell you, for the work that I do, and most of my work has been with women over the years, I get so excited when a man comes and says, I want to learn. It's the most amazing thing. Because men create the vessel and the space for women to be the fullness of who they are.
You get defined.
And the more that we learn to do that, the more we learn about ourselves, the more we're using the transformational power of sexuality. And that is the real, real power.
Let me objectify you, John. You look great today. You're losing weight. You look like hot.
Thank you.
Sorry, I had to. Because you're hot.
You are kind of glowing. You must admit.
It's sex. But John, tell us a few words. What's going to happen in sex for this year that you're...
Good reasons for that. So before that, two very exciting things on Tuesday. Tuesday is Women's Day, public holiday.
And we're doing that.
Two nude yoga classes. One in Joburg at Indie Yoga. And we had such a cool time with Kerry talking about that last week.
I'll be there.
So that is happening. And in Cape Town, Valentina Love is doing a nude yoga experience for women as well. And
hooray.
That is on Facebook and it is on our page on Cliff Central. So you really want to have a wonderful experience as well. And you cannot get dressed in drag and go to a nude woman's yoga class. You have to be the real thing.
And you have to be invited. You kind of can't just storm in. Yeah, you know.
And that's it. So that's really, really some amazing stuff happening on Tuesday. That's really cool. I've really enjoyed this, and I think we're going to come back to this because there's so much to this, and it's really important that men see men differently.
Look, if I could just teach classes, I promise you, if men only knew what I know.
Derek, we are going to teach some stuff together.
I swear to God, if I could just teach some men out there what I know, callers that called in just like this now, would never happen.
The same.
Would
because
never happen.
So much could be different. And lately, I've been dealing with people in such relationship pain. And so much of it comes from if we as men, and everybody is responsible for their relationship.
Of course.
My relationship is my responsibility. Her relationship is her responsibility. Our relationship is our responsibility. But if we could teach men more, so much could be different.
Different.
And that's why I get so excited when men come and say, I want to learn. And some of the guys who have expressed interest in coming to the retreat in Mozambique to say, I want to learn. And that is absolutely, absolutely amazing.
Guys, this was really worth it. Like, just for you guys debating here on that was so worth it today.
So we are definitely coming back to this. Wayne, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And maybe we'll have to come and check out what you guys are doing.
Maybe we have to. Oh, no.
Please do.
By the way, interesting enough, this conversation between men turned me on 20 times more than, you know, seeing gorgeous guys, which, of course, you are, taking off their clothes. This is a turn on.
I didn't want to say that I could notice, but I didn't
know. I know, but I told you already that I am. Okay.
Thank you again.
It's kind of hard for me.
Very
as well.
Quickly. Right. Very, very quickly.
You know, my role is that of an observer. And I so often see the subtle cues that are exhibited by the clientele that the guys there do not see. And it's my task to direct them in the right direction. That body language, the touch of the hair, the puffing of the chest, the eyes opening, you know, touching a friend saying, that guy's hot. Where he's walked past already, and he hasn't seen that. And that's what I usually do to try and guide them to realize those cues.
So here's a fascinating idea, because I've taught a lot of women. I've taught a lot of women about sensuality and about sexuality in a lot of different guises. I would really love the opportunity to come and spend a little bit of time with your guys and talk a little bit about sensuality. Mm-mm. And give them some pointers and see what comes from that.
Please do.
That's a pretty cool one. So I think we should talk about that.
Especially the bunch that is in the industry now. I've learned a lot. But I'm telling you, I think as deep as I've ever gone, I've barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
I just want to know more.
Yeah, and I think to be able to do that would be a great opportunity. So again, thank you guys very, very much. Thanks. Up next is Casper and the team and a whole lot of people out there. This looks like it's going to get really, really kind of
interesting. Oh, and what is a boner with a brown?
Oh, the boner is an accidental erection caused by attraction to a man.
Oh, a man of, okay, so a man has a boner because
that's
of a man.
Bromance, I wish you all so much pleasure.
This is CliffCentral.com.